This is your Biz News Briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. In today's top stories, Cyril backs Zimbabwe's land grabs, sparking a major backlash at home. South Africa teams up with Russia and China for naval drills right before the G20 summit. America's Supreme Court sides with Trump on key cases, igniting debate over presidential power. And Elon Musk claims the future of Tesla is in humanoid robots, not just electric cars. Let's break down some of today's big stories, starting with some political heat in South Africa. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is catching some serious heat after calling Zimbabwe's land confiscation essential and ambitious. Now, this isn't just a throwaway comment. It's about Zimbabwe's controversial policy of taking land from white farmers, which critics say wrecked the country's economy. The Democratic Alliance's Willy Orkamp isn't holding back. He says Zimbabwe was destroyed by these land grabs, and the DA only supports land redistribution if it's done constitutionally. Orkamp also sounds pretty confident that the DA's court challenge against the Expropriation Act, South Africa's own land reform law, will come out in their favour. So land reform is still a hot button issue, with the DA pushing for a more measured approach. Here's the DA's Willy Orkamp speaking to BizNews' Chris Steyn.
Well, we know that the president visited Zimbabwe over the weekend. And during an address to the Zimbabweans there, where President Mnangagwa from Zimbabwe was also present, President Ramaphosa said that the land reform and the measures that they took in Zimbabwe in the early 2000s was necessary. Now, I think if you look at what happened in Zimbabwe, it is exactly an example of how not to do land reform. Years later, we are seeing the effects of the land grabs that took place in Zimbabwe. And for our president, seeing the background in our country and where we are now, to praise Zimbabwe for how they did land reform is just unacceptable. It should not happen.
What is driving the president to be so defiant in the face of international and national uproar over this issue, Willy?
Chris, I wish I had the answer to that. What I can just think is that the president is fighting for the survival of himself and his supporters in the ANC. There is a fight for the soul of the ANC. Let us have no two things about that. And I think that President Ramaphosa over many years have showed us that he can play the long game, but he can also play the pleasing game. And instead of doing what is in the interest of the country, he's doing what's in the interest of his party. And not only his party, of his faction of the party. We must, as public representatives, never ask what is in the interest of our party. We must ask what is in the interest of this country. And it is high time that President Ramaphosa act in the interest of this country. And it is not in the interest of South Africa that land reform take place in the way that Zimbabwe has done that. We must have security of property rights. We must attract investment into this country. We must not deter investments away. Now, if you've got a president standing on an international stage like the one that he was on over the weekend, praising them for an absolute catastrophe of land reform implementation, it is going to deter investors away from our country and it's going to harm our economy and it should not be allowed.
Next up, South Africa's military is planning joint naval exercises with Russia and China. Now, that's the same month it's hosting the G20 summit. The news has got some people, especially in the U.S., raising their eyebrows. Retired U.S. Colonel Chris Wyatt called the move intentional and provocative, saying it's basically a slap in the face to Donald Trump and the United States. It's a bold move for South Africa, and it is stirring up talk about where the country stands on the world stage, especially with big powers like Russia and China in the mix. Here's Colonel Chris Wyatt again, talking to BizNews' Chris Steyn.
What message would South Africa be sending to the West or to the world by hosting war games with Russia and China in the month that it's hosting the G20 year?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Chris, when you said in the month that they'll be hosting the exercise. First off, the response from DERCO, the Foreign Ministry of South Africa, and from the South African government would be, this is just a matter of course. We're not a neutral state. We're a non-aligned state. This is what non-aligned states do. They cooperate with people on all sides. And this is just a matter of, you know, practice. We had an exercise last year or the year before, and this isn't the first time we're doing this, but that would be disingenuous. This is intentional. This is provocative. This is meant to insult Donald Trump in the United States, and it is brain dead. We're already seeing closures of factories and businesses throughout South Africa as a direct consequence of the tariffs that have been applied to South Africa. And that's not even for their foreign policy. That's just because of the tariffs they place and the barriers they put on American goods and their unwillingness to remove those barriers. They remove them for the Chinese, who flood South Africa's market with their inferior commercial products, inferior things that they sell. Some of them are good. But the Chinese have almost free reign in South Africa. Temu and Shein just get over big time shipping things in through private shipments. Meanwhile, U.S. products are hit with ridiculous tariffs and barriers and quotas that limit our products. That's why South Africa has a 30% tariff. Imagine if the United States gets bent out of shape about this provocative effort to insult the United States, which is exactly what this is. This exercise could be delayed to December. There's no reason the Russians and Chinese can't do this in December. It's being done intentionally in November. I think the previous one might have been in August, to be honest. I don't recall. But remember, Russia is a rogue state that has launched the war against Ukraine. I'm not saying Ukraine is good. I've got plenty of issues with Zelensky and Ukraine. But this is an intentional effort by South Africa, or they're just dumb as a box of rocks.
On the business show today, I spoke to Kevin Lings, the chief economist at Stan Lib, who gave us some optimism in a sea of negativity as business confidence in South Africa ticks up ever so slightly. You can catch that full interview with Kevin Lings, the chief economist at Stan Lib, on BizNews' YouTube platform as part of today's The Business Show.
In South Africa at the moment, there are a couple of things that are actually feeling a bit better. Now, that sounds quite odd because, geez, there's a plethora of bad news around the politics in South Africa. And I think that bad news is going to get worse as we get closer to the local government election. But if you look at the economy, you take a couple of things. Retail sales actually doing quite well. And it turns out that consumers have a little bit more money because inflation is low. Inflation sits at 3 to 3.5%. People's salaries are going up above inflation and they're spending that money. So there's a little bit more money going into the retail sector. And we're picking up from some of the retailers. They're feeling a little bit more buoyant. At the same time, we've seen that there's an element of credit out there. So there is some access to credit. Obviously, the two-pot withdrawal. I personally am not a fan of the two-pot withdrawal, but what it does is it does give some buoyancy into consumer activity. And then you've had the interest rate cut from the Reserve Bank. And all of that is feeding into a little bit more activity. Throw on top of that the fact that the equity market in South Africa has done exceptionally well, I would regard, this year, 20-odd percent year to date. If you put on top of that what the currency's done in dollar terms, our market is flying. So that also gives us an element of buoyancy. And so you've seen that filter into the business sector a little bit.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car. Driving.
We Buy Cars. The easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
Over in the U.S., the Supreme Court is under the microscope for siding with the Trump administration on a bunch of cases. Bloomberg's Greg Stoer points out that the court's decision on Trump's global tariffs is raising even more questions about just how much power the president really has. Critics are worried this trend might be chipping away at America's rule of law. With Trump testing the boundaries, a lot of folks are wondering if the system can hold up under pressure.
In all but three of 21 emergency cases decided since January, the Supreme Court has decided in favor of the Trump administration, which the Trump administration considers a vindication of its policies. How does it look to legal scholars?
Well, some legal scholars are pretty concerned, and these are all cases where the question is, what do we do until there's a final ruling in this case? What happens in the interim? And the court's practice has been pretty consistently at this point to sort of err on the side of the president, to say we are more worried that the president wants to do something and is not able to do that than we are that there might be a legal violation or that somebody's rights might be violated. Not in every case, but in the lion's share, certainly.
Greg, it takes on new importance on a day like today when there are two things, monumental things, making their way through the courts. That is tariffs and the attempted firing of Lisa Cook. It is a market that expects that tariffs will be put on, but a market that does not expect Trump to be allowed to get rid of Lisa Cook. Is that a fair view? Is the court going to be treating things like the Federal Reserve different than these other court decisions?
Yeah, well, there are two very different sets of legal issues there. I wouldn't want to hazard a prediction, but I'll offer a few thoughts. With regard to Lisa Cook, we did see a few months ago that the Supreme Court expressed real concern about the Fed's independence, that when it was letting Trump fire the heads of other agencies, that it went out of its way to carve out an exception for the Federal Reserve. Now, that was not a case involving for cause, no allegation there that anybody had done something wrong. And that's, of course, is what the Lisa Cook case is about. So the outcome of that may be very different. In terms of the tariffs, obviously a huge ruling on Friday from this federal appeals court. And, you know, that really goes to questions of presidential power that are pretty similar to questions that we saw with Joe Biden when he was trying to do things like forgiving student loans and imposing shot mandates or testing mandates during COVID for workers. So that's going to be a huge test of whether the court sees this as different from those Biden era fights.
Now for some tech news. Google just scored a major win in court. A federal judge decided the company doesn't have to sell its Chrome browser despite a landmark antitrust case. Mandeep Singh from Bloomberg Intelligence says this is a huge deal for Google as it keeps its grip on the browser market for now.
Back to that breaking news from Google, a court ruling they are not required to sell Chrome. Let's get to Mandeep Singh of Bloomberg Intelligence for more context here. You can see that the shares are spiking in the after hours, Mandeep. How surprising to see this is this?
It is surprising because Judge Mehta was in favor of divesting Chrome, which is the key asset here that everyone is looking at. And in this case, I think the ruling clearly states that they're not required to divest Chrome. At the same time, there won't be any exclusive contracts. So that means the Google Apple thing won't be at least allowed anymore. And then also related to Android, there won't be any like licensing agreements that bar certain companies. So really, I think what it seems like is they are in favor of opening up the platform where other companies can bid, but there is no talk about, you know, Google having to divest any of their assets.
It's amazing Google can go up 6% just like that, like it's a small cap. I mean, that's how powerful these stocks are. We talked to Anurag earlier about the other things Google owns, like YouTube would be like the 20th biggest stock if it were spun off. Could they go after other parts of Google in an antitrust way?
Not really. There were two big lawsuits. One was the monopoly lawsuit, where Chrome was the big asset that everyone was focused on. And look, the reason why you're seeing a 5-6% move is because when it comes to Chrome, you know, over 3 billion monthly active users, AI agents, and everything that's going on in Gen AI, browser is the most important asset. So
right.
If they were restricted in some way, I mean, that would really hurt Alphabet's position in Gen AI. So
right.
From that perspective, it did warrant a big move like this.
And Mandeep, we have about a minute left. We're talking about Alphabet, but take a look at shares of Apple, up about 3.7% in the after hours trade as well. What can we extrapolate from this ruling into Apple?
So look, I mean, clearly the agreement that Apple had with Google is at least not allowed anymore, or that's what the ruling suggests. But Apple is looking to use someone else's model. So, you know, from that perspective, probably they could use Gemini or something related to Google to catch up to other companies when it comes to incorporating GenAI. So
right. From
that perspective, I do think it's a positive that Apple can use something of Google going forward, and there are no kind of big restrictions that are evident.
And finally, Elon Musk is making headlines yet again. He says he expects Tesla to get about 80% of its value from its Optimus humanoid robots in the future. That's a massive shift from just making electric cars. Pierre Farragu from New Street Research weighed in, saying Musk's master plan could totally change the game for Tesla if these robots really take off.
When you're hearing the master plan part four, are you seeing that Optimus could really be 80% of revenue?
Well, Optimus is about, you know, creating like humanoid robots that could take billions of jobs on the planet. So as long as you remain vague on timeline and what the scenario looks like, yes, it's very easy to imagine that Tesla would be first expanded in terms of valuation with like a successful robotaxi operation. And then, of course, like a fleet of like hundreds of millions of humanoid robots would dwarf actually the economic value of even a robotaxi business. So you have to remember that, you know, this plan Tesla publishes and Elon likes to comment on is really like a vision, like a stretch vision. He's always been managing his businesses, bringing up like his very long-term visions. And he has this way of presenting these versions very often with like a slightly distorted time scale. You know, when he talks about like Mars and the conquest of Mars on the SpaceX and things like that. So you have to put the comments in the right context. So today, we know that the robotaxi business, in the most bullish case, which should be Tesla can scale out with robotaxis, doesn't really have significant competition, given like the quality of their cost base, that business would be worth multiple trillions and would be already like a multiple of the existing auto business. On top of that, a humanoid robot bull case where Tesla dominates the space again, and humanoid robots can take over hundreds of millions of jobs, you can easily get like, you know, to like a large number of trillions, like close to $10 trillion of valuation. Does that mean this is what I have in my model and what you should bet on today? Maybe not.
That's it for your BizNews briefing today. Lots to keep an eye on, from politics to technology. We'll be back with more context on both the local and global front tomorrow. Thanks as always for watching.